Legal position on right to protest. Let's speak to the barrister, Stephen Barrett. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be on.
Oh, it's good to speak to you, Stephen. Thanks for joining us. It was interesting, I suppose, what we started our programme with this morning, which was Alistair Carmichael, Lib Dem Home Affairs spokesman. And he was sort of saying, you know, of course they have the right to protest, but basically, to paraphrase, is it right for them to protest around Armistice Day? So how does this work? What are the legal ins and outs of actually having a protest?
Well, I think the most important thing to get across is that protests can be stopped. Okay, there is no automatic and absolute right to protest. It's what we call a caveated right. There are conditions. You don't have absolute rights. We don't have, in fact, this country has a much weaker freedom of speech regime than, say, the United States of America has. And that's just our legal system. So you can always block a protest if need be. What seems to be going on is that there seems to be a degree of confusion over who has the power to stop a protest and a degree of unwillingness for anybody to bite the bullet and actually make a decision. Mm. Now, I can't make that decision for anybody because I'm just appearing as a lawyer giving legal advice. So all I can ever say is you've got the power to do this if you want to do it. Do you want to do it? At the moment, the power sits with what's called a senior police officer, which presumably in this case would be the head of the Met. But the power derives from a very ancient prerogative, which is to maintain the king's peace, which is very important that peace is maintained, that all citizens live free and without fear of intimidation. And that means our Jewish citizens get to live free of fear of intimidation. And that prerogative lies with the Home Secretary. But ultimately, the person with the complete control of power is the Prime Minister, because that's how our system works. Parliament is the source of all power, and the Prime Minister governs Parliament effectively by having a majority. So if he wanted to, when Parliament, first of all, he could call Parliament back to sit early, but assuming it just sits on Tuesday, he could put through a bill on Tuesday to stop this protest. What I think is important and what I can do valuably as an expert, rather than give you my personal political opinions, which I don't think would be particularly valuable, is just assure everybody that there is power in this country to stop things, and that this protest on Armistice Day, which it does seem as though that Armistice Day matters to quite a lot of people in the country that may not, London and others may not necessarily have noticed that Armistice Day matters to people, but it does feel broadly as though there is some sort of feeling that Armistice Day matters. I don't have a view on that. But if Armistice Day does matter to people and they don't want to protest on it, then the law allows the protest to be blocked.
Okay. So, and what you're saying, that's such a helpful explanation, Stephen. What you're saying is, of course, ultimately the Prime Minister could ban this if he wanted to. The Home Secretary also has some influence in terms of maintaining the King's peace. So just for clarity, would the Home Secretary still need the Prime Minister to sign off on that?
Well, they have collective cabinet responsibility, so I imagine they would want to discuss any decision that a senior minister takes.
Sure, so but could the announcement come from Suella Braverman and she could say, look, this is now banned, presumably having had behind-the-scenes consultation with the cabinet, etc.?
Yes, I think that absolutely could. You could have any of those three figures could step up to the plate and ban this protest if they want it banned.
That's the point I was building to. So the senior police officer also could, has the prerogative, has the ability to say, we do not want this protest to go ahead, and therefore we are banning it.
Yes, and it's really, really important, I think, because law at the moment is often used as an excuse to not do things, what I call can'tism. And people say, oh, well, there's a law against this. Oh, well, there's a law. I can't possibly do this. Well, we do need to sort of grow up and realise that actually Parliament can make or change any law it wants at any time. We are a grown-up civilized country with a constitution that works and functions. We're not like some sort of broken version of Windows 95 that can never change. You know, that law, forgive me for that sort of throwaway line, but law is an operating system. I want people to understand that, you know, law is just there to allow you to use the computer, to use society, to get on and have a good life. It can be changed, it can be updated, it can be completely overhauled if you want. You can shut down one operating system and start a completely different one if you want to. And instead, we seem to be in a period of inertia, a period of political unwillingness to act, and a desperate desire to what I call feign powerlessness. To pretend that you don't have power. Oh, this terrible thing's about to happen. I wish I could stop it, but I can't possibly stop it. Oh dear, actually, yes, I could. This is not convincing. This is not terribly grown up. And if the public want this stopped, the public value Armistice Day and the Remembrance Sunday weekend, and we had a lot of these protests. There's been no shortage of them. There was one last night in King's Cross. You know, we don't suffer for a lack of these marches, whether they're hate filled or not. Again, is not for me, but we don't lack a number of them. If the public want this stopped, then a senior police officer, which would be, I think, the head of the Met, the Home Secretary, having consulted with her cabinet colleagues and got approval in the proper appropriate way, or the Prime Minister, could stop this march. Really important that is known. Nobody should be allowed to hide in cantism and pretend that they can't stop this when they can.
Stephen, that is the clarity that we needed, with a bonus, probably quite accurate, theatrical representation of life behind the scenes in the cabinet as well. So thank you very much indeed. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That is Stephen Barry.